For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, TFA fam? Welcome into the first glance at week two waivers. We have the majority of football in the books, so we just want to take a quick look ahead. There's going to be more information that comes out. We're going to have a streamer video that's going to be coming out later this week as well. So I know specifically for me, for tight end, like there's still a lot of information that I want to see come out with routes run and snaps and that sort of thing. But let's just go ahead and dive right into the nitty-gritty, Kev. Lead us off with quarterbacks. Who are you looking at for week two?
Yeah, for me, it's pretty simple. Listen, let's talk about Jameis Winston. I mean, what are the ugliest numbers that you could see? Like, if you would have told me that Jameis Winston was going to throw for four, have complete 14 of 20 passes for 148 yards, but throw for five touchdowns, I wouldn't believe you one bit.
Not a chance.
So, he also had six carries for 37 yards. So, Jameis, you know, all those workouts where he's out there running around, you know, seems like they're coming in handy, but he finished with 39 fantasy points, QB2 on the week so far. You know, this next week they play the Panthers, which allowed 22 fantasy points to Zach Wilson, who Zach Wilson in the first half looked absolutely lost and terrible, but bounced back in the second half. So I do like Jameis in this upcoming matchup against the Panthers. And then you have Ben Roethlisberger, who's going to be facing off against the Raiders. The Raiders have not played. They play tomorrow night. Now, the Steelers' offense also in the first half looked terrible. Completed 18 of 32 for 188 yards and a touchdown. Listen, the Raiders allowed the seventh most passing yards last season, and also as well as the top eight in touchdowns allowed and 26 in pass DVOA. We'll see how they look tomorrow night. But I think this Steeler offense will get more on track in the next week against the Raiders. Much better matchup than playing the Bills. So I do like Ben Roethlisberger if he's sitting out there. Kirk Cousins going up against the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals defense did look really good today against the Titans, but I feel like that was more just the Titans offense looking terrible and out of sync the entire day than it did the Cardinals off our defense, something that we should really be afraid of moving forward. Kirk Cousins today against the Bengals completed 36 of 49 for two touchdowns, which was good enough for 26 fantasy points this week. So I do like Kirk Cousins in another game that's likely going to be high scoring. They're going to have to throw the football. And so I like Kirk Cousins. Mac Jones, if he's out there, rostered in 22% of leagues, didn't do too bad today for, you know, his rookie debut against a really good defense. 29-39 for 281 yards and a touchdown. Again, they play the Jets this week again. You know, Sam Darnold kind of lit them up a little bit. Really slow start, but really got going there in the second half as well. So I like Mac Jones. And then Teddy Bridgewater versus the Jaguars. I mean, my goodness, the Jaguars looked lost and absolutely terrible. Made the Texans look like just this elite-level offense. I mean, Tyrod Taylor coming out of nowhere, throwing for 291 yards.
MVP.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. And it's funny because the Jaguars now are leading the division after week one. So, I mean, something I did not see coming. But, you know, hey, it's so is life. But this Jaguar defense looks terrible. So I do like Teddy Bridgewater if you're absolutely desperate. Only roster in 4% of leagues. We will talk about Jerry Jeudy when we get there because, you know, hashtag pour one out for him because it sounds like he's going to be out at least 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty cruddy to see. Sorry, I was looking I was trying to look up how many times Tyrod Taylor has thrown for more than 250 yards, and it is 10 times in his career he has put up those kind of numbers. So would not be expecting that much more. Let's go ahead and move on. I don't really see any comments in the chat that we have to get to right now. So let's go ahead and move on to the running back waivers for the week. I think that Elijah Mitchell is going to be the number one add with what he did. Rostered less than 10% of leagues on Yahoo, 1% on ESPN. Today against Detroit, went 19-104-1. We got the news at, 11:30, excuse me, that Trey Sermon was a healthy scratch. Raheem Mostert doing Raheem Mostert things and going down injured in the first quarter. There was no other running back on the team with more than two carries either. So until we find out for sure what happened with Mostert, could that have been like a team violation thing, and, you know, they just sat him, and then, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if next week this is Sermon who's going off. But as of right now, it looks like Elijah Mitchell is at least going to have some sort of role, whether that ends up being what he had this week or, you know, I mean, splitting some carries with Trey Sermon. But he looked good. The thing that is exciting for me as well for Elijah Mitchell, we talked about him as a sleeper, as a deep sleeper during the offseason. But whenever we talked about him, we were talking about him as like, oh, you know, we could see him getting the third down roll. I don't think he was even targeted in this game. You know, obviously with them leading, didn't really need to lean on the pass too much. But that's exciting for me that he has some room for growth, that he could be involved more as a pass catcher as well. So Elijah Mitchell, I think, is going to be the top waiver add this week. I have him as a must add along with Kenneth Gainwell. Looking at him, we were expecting Boston Scott to be involved. I'm not sure if he registered an opportunity at all. I don't know what kind of snaps he saw, but Gainwell was a guy who mixed in. I think he had about like 9 carries, I want to say. A couple of targets as well, found the end zone. So Gainwell is someone who I think has to be added. That Eagles offense looked good. Jalen Hurts looked good. And, you know, they're going to mix in guys outside of Miles Sanders as well. The other guy for me might not be available in your 12-team leagues, but 10-team and fewer. Maybe he's hanging out there in a 12-team league, but I wouldn't count on it too much. But that's James White. Seeing what he did with the amount of targets he got, had a couple of catches. Obviously, the first and second down work is going to Damian Harris. I think he had 23 carries today. But in full PPR leagues, James White is a guy who I'm absolutely going to be adding. Like, Kev, you're talking about Mac Jones. He looked good. So I think James White is an add. Then some secondary adds you can look here to, like, guys who are interesting depending on your bench depth, your league size. But Larry Roundtree seems like he is the favorite for touches behind Austin Eckler. Another guy that we saw the healthy scratch with was Joshua Kelly. Justin Jackson was involved a little bit, but Larry Roundtree outtouched him by a decent margin. Mark Ingram coming out and getting 20 plus carries, rather, you know, like we all saw coming. Now, I will say this one, I'm only doing this if I'm desperate for running back in deep leagues. I'm not adding him in 10-team or 8-team leagues, because we also can't trust that the Texans are going to have double-digit leads going forward. But he was the guy. I think the next closest was Philip Lindsay, and he had 8 carries after that. Carlos Hyde got mixed in. He had more carries than James Robinson did. But again, that everything just went sideways for them. I wouldn't really look at this week as indicative of what they're gonna do going forward. James Robinson did have, I think, the same amount of opportunities, but a lot of his came via targets, which is what we want anyway. So again, if you're desperate, Ingram, Carlos Hyde, I guess, can be in there if you're, you know, in 12, 14 team leagues, something like that. David Johnson probably not going to be widely available, but he does look like he has that PPR back locked up, kind of what they said they were going to do, and kind of have him be that third down option. So he's someone who you can look at. Tony Jones Jr., I debated on putting him in the must add, but the thing that kind of worried me there is obviously with the Saints just waxing the Packers. He only had 11 carries, and obviously they were in command of that game the entire time. So I think he's on that must add, secondary add kind of fringe there. And then just some stashes for you. Cordarrelle Patterson is alive, I guess. But again, game script, I'm not sure how much we can count on that going forward. But he did have a handful of carries, handful of targets. Savon Ahmed, if you have the bench space, looks like he's going to be the guy to own if anything happens to Gaskin. He was the one getting the carries and also getting mixed in as a pass catcher. And then Jeremy McNichols getting mixed in with Derrick Henry, with them not being able to do much offensively at all. McNichols got a handful of carries and also had a handful of targets. So that one, again, I'm not sure what to do with that Titans offense just in general, because that was just a – I don't think anyone saw them struggling that much. And, Kev, like you said, it's not like we were looking at that defense like, hey, this is where the studs are. So we have a comment here from Derek Lincoln saying, grab Tim Patrick. And I think that is a nice segue here, Kev. Who you got for receivers this week, for week two, rather?
Yeah, so I don't think there's any, like, must add. Like, you have to go out and, like, go out of your way to grab anybody, because the players that kind of went off, I think, on most weeks are guys that I think – at least I want to see more from, but I think to start things off, I think there is one guy I think that you could probably look at least as like a wide receiver four, wide receiver five, and that's Sterling Shepard, who today, you know, went out 7 receptions on 9 targets, 113 yards and a touchdown, 24.3 PPR points. He did lead all pass catchers and targets, and he had a 24% target share, only rostered in 39% of leagues. Sterling Shepard continues to be kind of that safety valve, you know, that especially with Evan Ingram out today, I think that really opened things up for him more in the slot. He, you know, played primarily in the slot. And so I like Sterling Shepard. Again, he's never a sexy name. He's never a guy that I think – he's not going to be like some wide receiver one, but I think he can have some, you know, on certain weeks where he's going to be a, you know, a decent flex option. And I think so Sterling Shepard should be rostered in more leagues, especially in PPR formats. You know, the Giants offense today looked terrible, lost, anemic, and this was the only bright spot of that offense really today was Sterling Shepard. You know, Evan Ingram should be back. They do play Thursday night against Washington, so they have a really quick turnaround, so we'll have to see what happens there. But Sterling Shepard at least should be mentioned.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of 3 and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The next guy for me is Christian Kirk, which, you know, we all wrote him off for dead, and he comes out today and goes five receptions, 70 yards and 2 touchdowns, 24 PPR points as well. He did tie – he was tied with Rondell Moore with third most targets, and he played 54% of the snaps, which is well more than what Rondell Moore played. But he's only rostered in 3% of leagues. But listen, I don't think this is for Christian Kirk. I don't know if you're going to be able to trust him on a week-to-week basis. I don't know if you're going to be able to look at Christian Kirk and be able to and say, man, I want to play him every single week. But I do think he's at least a bench stash, somebody you should be looking at, because I think, you know, with this offense, how high-powered it is. I mean, A.J. Green actually had more targets than him today. He had 6 targets, but only hauled in 2 of them, I think, for 20 yards. So I do think Christian Kirk is at least worth a bench spot in 12-team leagues or more. And then the other guy I want to talk about really quickly is Jalen Reagor. You know, hey, he's only rostered in 21% of leagues, but he had 6 receptions on 6 targets for 49 yards and a touchdown for 16.9 fantasy points. He was second in targets, trailing only Devontae Smith this week in a game that really in the second half, I mean, the Eagles really just kind of put away. They didn't have to really open up the offense as much in the second half as they did in the first half. You know, the Falcons looked terrible, as I think most people expected. So, you know, Jalen Reagor, at the very least, having a little bit of a renaissance in the second half of, you know, or in the second year of his career. Hopefully this is a sign of things to come for Jalen. Jalen Reagor, because he was a guy that we absolutely loved last year. And then some other guys I think you should at least be looking at. I just talked about Rondale Moore. He also had 5 targets, 5 receptions for 68 yards, which was and he's rostered in 27% of leagues. But like, I think he is somebody that definitely should be rostered in more leagues. I think he can have some appeal on a week-to-week basis. Terrace Marshall didn't have really a big game whatsoever. But he did have – he hauled in 3 of 6 targets for 26 yards, but he finished second in targets among the pass catchers behind DJ Moore. Shocker, I believe we talked about that this morning. I believe that's exactly what I said. Now, Robbie Anderson did catch the long 57-yard touchdown, which, you know, made him more valuable. But if he's going to continue to see this kind of target share on a week-to-week basis, I do think he becomes enters that flex option, I think, moving forward for Terrace Marshall. Now, the next, Nelson Agholor and Jakobi Meyers. Now, I want to talk about Jakobi Meyers because he's right there on the borderline. He's rostered in like 60% of the league. That's kind of our cutoff. But Nelson Agholor went 5 for 72 and 1 against the Dolphins. And I will mention Mac Jones did spread the ball around. 7 different pass catchers received a target this week. But Meyers also went 6 for 44 on 9 targets as well. Get a much better matchup next week, which we talked about. So Nelson Agholor, you know, once again, just like last year, kind of coming out of, still has some viability, I guess, but also it was good to see Jakobi Meyers with the 9 targets that he received today as well. So I think big things are coming for Jakobi Meyers. And again, you know, with the matchup they were getting against Xavier Howard and Byron Jones, like I think that, you know, he played well enough in terms of how he played, and then also as well as Nelson Agholor. So I was impressed with Mac Jones today. So that is that. Devontae Parker is only rostered in 39% of leagues. I was kind of surprised by that. I figured he'd be rostered more. But he did haul in 4 receptions on 7 targets for 81 yards. Now, it should be mentioned, Will Fuller is going to be back next week. And Jaylen Waddle, shout out to him. I mean, he played really well today as well. And so, you know, I think we should at least be encouraged about what we saw from him. But with Will Fuller back, like, yeah. I don't know how much you're going to be able to trust Devontae Parker on a week-to-week basis. So, for me, he's more of a wide receiver 5, I think. On most teams, wide receiver 5, wide receiver 6. Like, I think he's decent. But with those other guys back and Mike Gesicki and, Miles Gaskin, I just don't know how much you're going to be able to trust him. Now, the other guy I think we should really talk about is Tim Patrick, which was already in the comments. And I absolutely agree. Even if you look back into last year, Tim Patrick on that terrible offense they had last year, he averaged almost 11 fantasy points per game, 51 receptions. For 742 yards and 6 receiving touchdowns last year. Now, in this week, he hauled in all 4 passes for 39 yards and a touchdown, which I believe is kind of making one of the more top waiver ads this week. Now, it should be mentioned that we're still talking about a Broncos offense that really wants to run the ball and not really open up and have to pass the ball too much. But I think with this matchup they have coming up, I think on a weekly basis, Tim Patrick can kind of be looked at a little bit in the flex option. Now, KJ Hamler is a guy that I have is not really a priority ad, but somebody that I think we should be talking about because he was targeted 4 times for 3 receptions, 41 yards. While I don't think he's a great fit for what Teddy Bridgewater brings to the table, I think he did outplay Cortland Sutton today. And with Jerry Jeudy being out for 6 to 8 weeks, I mean, I think that Patrick makes for a pretty solid ad moving forward. Zach Pascal, like, this guy never dies. I feel like he's there every year, just a thorn in everybody's side. He's never somebody you ever really want to play or you really want to do anything with, but he's always there. 5 targets today for 4 receptions for 43 yards and 2 receiving touchdowns. Was the most targeted wide receiver. Pittman was targeted 4 times. Campbell was targeted 3 times. But I do think Paris Campbell, I think moving forward, listen, I think that offense looked really bad today overall. And I think a lot of it's just the fact that Carson Wentz missed so much time. And I think that's kind of the theme of this week. I mean, look at the Packers. I mean, so many of these offenses just look stagnant. And I think a lot of it is the fact that all these teams rested their starters. And so they got no opportunity to really play against other teams. And I think a lot of these teams just looked off. I mean, the Packers looked – I mean, Aaron Rodgers from MVP last year looks like he shouldn't be playing in the league anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, all these teams are going to bounce back and these things are going to get corrected. But – so kind of like we talked about, there's got to be some bad performances. And like Paris Campbell and Michael Pittman, I know people are going to be worried about that as well. I would hold and wait and see kind of how this thing plays out a little bit. But Zach Pascal, I think in like 14, 16-team leagues, I think people should take a look. Quentin Cephas, targeted 7 times, 3 receptions for 12 yards, 1 touchdown. Very hard to trust. But he did make a really nice grab in the end zone. So, again, deeper league guy. Anthony Schwartz, OBJ was ruled out at like 2 or 3 o'clock. He was targeted 5 times, hauled in 3 passes for 69 yards, 1 rush attempt for 17 yards. I don't think he's somebody you're going to be able to trust moving forward, but I definitely think he's somebody that we should be monitoring. I thought Donovan Peoples-Jones was actually going to be the guy with all the buzz that he got, but really didn't happen. But so with Anthony Schwartz, like OBJ should be back next week. I do believe that. But Anthony Schwartz, really speedster coming out of Auburn last year, kind of was somebody that a lot of people liked. I believe he was drafted, in the third round, I believe, by the Browns. So he's certainly a name to monitor. And then you have Van Jefferson, 2 catches, 3 targets, 80 yards, and a touchdown already. But again, I don't think he's somebody that people in 12-team leagues should be looking at.
Yeah, and then Derek also likes Van Jefferson. Obviously, Stafford's having himself a game in the Sunday night football game. And then let's just move over to tight end real quickly and close this out. In terms of waivers, we'll get into more detail on the streaming show with this. Like I said, there's still a lot of information that I want to see specifically with the tight ends. But Jared Cook, 3rd in targets on this team, had 8 targets. That was only behind Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So I think Jared Cook is someone you can go look at. We had heard that it was going to be more of a rotation at tight end. But I think Darnell Parham was the only other one who got a target in this game, and I think he had 1. So it looks like Cook, at least for right now, is going to be the guy. Cole Kmet playing right now. Last I looked, he had 2 targets, I think 2 catches for 20 yards. So I think he can be someone that we're looking at. And someone I'm paying attention to, I'm not going to add him right now. There's just too many variables. You know, they're rotating in 2 other tight ends as well. They obviously paid Austin Hooper just last year. But if David Njoku can be a thing, he was one of my favorite tight ends coming out of that class with O.J. Howard and Evan Engram. But he just, for whatever reason, hasn't really caught on. He was tied with Schwartz and Jarvis Landry for targets in this game with 5. I think Hooper had 3, and then Bryant had 1. I believe, but you know, Odell out in a game where they were being forced to throw a little bit. So I'm going to be paying attention to this one, but not necessarily somebody I think you have to absolutely go out and add. And like I said, whenever it comes time for the streamers, we'll have more information then, like I said, with routes run and snaps and that sort of thing. So listen, Will Disley had more targets than Gerald Everett. Suck an egg, Walido.
I will say I think there's like – so Juwan Johnson, I think he did have the 2 touchdowns, but
– Troutman had 6 targets and led the team.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. While he was heavily used in the red zone, I do think Adam Troutman, which was good to see, I think, for Troutman, right? The 6 targets that he did see. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a team only threw the ball 20 times and he saw 6 targets and – and you know, there was all the preseason talk. Oh well, he's dead, and because he never got a target in the preseason. So I do think that, and Gerald Everett as well. I mean, I think he's going to be a problem inside the red zone for them and a team that I don't think they really had to start throwing in the second half either, because of the lead that they had, and they were able to kind of coast in the second half. But you know, I will say overall, like I said, like there was a lot of really bad performances from teams that I think that we all expect to be much better. I mean, the Packers is probably the poster child for that. I mean, the entire offense was terrible. Aaron Jones was awful. Aaron Rodgers was awful. Devontae Adams was okay at best, you know. And so I do think moving forward, I wouldn't – there's no reason to overpan. There's no reason to overreact. There you go. Overreact to this one, okay? And so I think it is what it is at this point. And, you know, I don't think we actually have a ton of like just like – slam the table, you got to add this guy type ads. But I think there's at least some decent options.
Yeah, it's definitely some decent options. But especially whenever it comes to tight end, I mean, you're looking at the Cowboys. Schultz had 6 targets. Jarwin had 4. We already talked about Seattle. Today, Conklin had 4 targets, but that's going to be a low passing offense. Herndon had 2 targets, didn't have any catches. And then Jonnu and Henry. Jonnu had 5. Henry had 3. So, I mean, tight end is just kind of, you know, there's way too much going on right now to parse through. We do have a question here from Fantasy Football. Gronk is a free agent in my league. Would you pick him up over the tight ends we had listed up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you feel much more comfortable with Gronk. I will say.
Go ahead. You're probably going to say what I was going to say. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I think this offense is just going to be back and forth a lot of times. Something we talked about on the Sunday show with, you know, Evans being left out for dead, but there's absolutely going to be games where Gronk goes 2 for 13 and it's a Mike Evans week. And like, I think it's going to be back and forth and not something that you can count on. I do like Jared Cook as a waiver ad as far as tight ends go, but we'll definitely have some more options and some more information for you for the streamer show. We'll talk about quarterback again, tight end, defense, and seems like you guys love the kicker information, so we're going to throw some kicker streams in there as well.
Woo! yeah. Exciting about kickers. Did David Montgomery just leave the field hurt? He was holding his wrist when he left. Yeah, he's getting his wrist checked out on the sideline.
Well, I guess I can't start the show over. Damien Williams.
Oh, Justin Fields is in. Let's go.
And we will have some updates, obviously, if anything crazy happens between, you know, the rest of the game tonight. Like if, you know, Montgomery is going to be out for an extended period of time with a wrist injury or whatever. And then obviously through Monday night as well. I will say I did see that apparently Josh Jacobs has been downgraded to doubtful tomorrow. So if you were playing him for whatever reason, hurry up, run out and pick up Kenyon Drake and get him in the lineup instead. Any parting words, Kev?
Don't overreact. It's just week one. There's no reason to care too much one way or the other, okay? It's just 1 week. And I think it's going to take probably 2 or 3 weeks for these offenses to really start hitting on all cylinders and for us to really figure out what's happening. So, like I said, I mean, I think Elijah Mitchell does make some sense to add, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if all of a sudden next week it's Trey Sermon all of a sudden. Yeah. You know, like there's just not enough information here. I do think Elijah Mitchell's worth an add, but he's like the guy to add, right? To me. Like, other than that, I think all these other guys, don't go out and use the number one waiver priority on any of these dudes. Don't go out and blow heavy fab budget on any of these guys. I think most of them, you're talking like 2 to 5% is what you should be doing, right? Okay. And so that's what I'm at. Jay, how are we feeling about Van Jefferson? We just hit on him. I think he's okay for like a stash. I don't think he's a weekly guy. But with as much of this offense is going to be throwing the ball, I do think Van Jefferson makes some sense to add. And maybe even some 12-team league, depending on if you have the bench size. Now, if you have like a 5-man bench, I'm probably not adding them unless you just don't have anything else. But, you know, we'll see what happens there.
On this last one, Derek, Tevin Coleman led them in carries. I think Ty Johnson and Michael Carter both have, what, one target, I think. I think they both had 4 carries. We are both team Ty Johnson and Michael Carter later in the season. I don't think there are anybody that you have to pick up and stash right now. I think that offense is going to have some hiccups and growing pains like we were talking about a little bit earlier, how they struggled out the gate. If you need – I wouldn't even feel comfortable starting Tevin Coleman, honestly. It's going to be gross, but as of right now, he looks like he's going to be the guy. At least, that, you know, if you're looking for a 2-down back, I don't think he registered a target today, so he's not going to have much PPR appeal and PPR upside. But if you want to stash one of these guys, it's either Ty Johnson or Michael Carter. But as of right now, obviously, I didn't mention any of those guys when I was talking about the waiver ads. It's just we still need to see more from that Jets offense in general, and it's going to be a three-headed monster and just a three-headed headache. As far as I'm concerned, Brian Hill joining us, hitting us up on Twitter as well. Next week for San Fran backfield, who'd you trust, if any? It looks like Elijah Mitchell, but it would also not surprise me if that ends up being Sermon either. So to say trust, I couldn't trust any of those guys, but I do think Elijah Mitchell is going to be the waiver ad, so I would roll with him unless we hear something else. So appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be going live again on Wednesday. We're going to have a bunch of content coming out in the meantime as well. So make sure you're subscribed. Keep it locked in here and follow us over on the podcast feed as well. Any questions, leave them here. Jump into the Discord and we'll talk to you all soon.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.